Okay, go ahead and turn over to John chapter 4. I read scripture from there earlier, but we're going to look at a different passage this morning. John chapter 4. We'll focus in on verses 43 through 54 in just a few minutes. John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. So this is kind of like a standalone sermon. Next week, I'll be starting a brand new sermon series. 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, as we're going to go through the book of Jonah together. So I'm really excited about that and all the things that the Lord wants to teach us as we go through that book together. And then I've got some other things kind of on the back burner, the horizon later on, I think the Lord is leading me to do, and I'm excited about it. So that'll start next week that we'll be going through Jonah. But today we're going to focus on John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. A lot of you have been to some of the trivia nights that I've done in the past, whether it be for Palteris or some other organization. But one of the things that I always like to do as part of my trivia night is to have a section in there that's name the theme song section. And so what I typically do is play a clip from a theme song from a TV show. And then the people have to write down what the answer is to that show. So I've got a clip for you today, a song, and let's see if you know what it is, okay? All right, go ahead.
Welcome back.
All right. A lot of you are singing that, so I think we know what it is. All right, that's good. So, that's a really catchy theme song. Sometimes I just listen to that whole song. There's actually two verses to that, and I listen to that because it's kind of a soothing song. But we remember that show very well. It's Welcome Back, Cotter. The show originally aired on ABC, on the ABC network from 1975 until 1979. And the show, of course, starred the comedian Gabriel Kaplan as the title character, Gabe Cotter. He was a teacher who returned to his alma mater in Brooklyn, New York, to teach this unruly group of remedial wise guys known as the Sweat Hogs, right? Remember those guys? The Sweat Hogs' inner circle consisted of Vinnie Barbarino, who was the leader of the Sweat Hogs. He was charming and handsome, you could say selectively airheaded. Then there was Juan Epstein, who was the wild boy of the gang. There was Freddie Boom Boom Washington, the hip-hop basketball enthusiast, and then Arnold Horshack, who was kind of like the oddball of the Sweat Hogs, known for his wheezing laugh, right? That was so annoying. And so we're kind of having some fun here this morning. I played off the name of that show to come up with today's sermon title, Welcome Back, Jesus. And in the context of the scripture here, in fact, the subheading in my Bible says a Galilean welcome. And so in this time, it had been an exciting couple of days in Samaria. Jesus had witnessed the woman at the well becoming a believer, as well as many other people in Samaria. Remember, she went back and she told her whole hometown about, I've met the Messiah, I've met a guy who's seen and heard, who knew all about me, he's the Messiah. So they all became followers of Jesus. And now Jesus and his disciples are headed north into Galilee to the northern province of his home in Nazareth. And upon entering Galilee, Jesus and his disciples were welcomed enthusiastically back into that area because of what he had previously done at the festival. He finds his way back to Cana. Remember the wedding at Cana where Jesus did his very first miracle? He's back there. And they're excited because of all the things that had transpired since then. And so it was in Cana, Jesus is approached by a royal officer. Now, in this time, one of the Herods was in charge, Herod Antipas. He was the Tetrarch of Galilee. So this royal officer worked under him. And the Bible says that the officer's son was sick back in Capernaum. Capernaum was approximately 25 miles from Cana. So he traveled a pretty good distance to see Jesus there. And it was Jesus being welcomed back into Galilee and his encounter that the royal officer, he's engaged the royal officer that set the stage for today's sermon. So let's read the scripture and then we'll get into it. John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. It says, after 2 days he had left there for Galilee. Jesus himself testified that a prophet was no honor in his home country. When he entered Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because he had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival, for they'd also gone to the festival. Then he went again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was ill at Capernaum. When the man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went with him and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. And Jesus told him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Sir, the official said to him, come down before my boy dies. Go, Jesus told him, your son will live. The man believed what Jesus said to him and departed. And while he was still going down, his slaves met him, saying that the boy was alive. And when he asked them what time that he got better, they said, yesterday at 7 in the morning, the fever left him. And they answered him. The father realized this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, your son will live. Then he himself believed along with his whole household. This, therefore, was the second sign Jesus performed after he from Judea to Galilee. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, this is right after Jesus encountered the woman at the well. This is now he's back in Cana of Galilee, and now he encounters this royal officer of the emperor. And the first thing that I want us to notice here as we look at these verses, number one, let's look at the faith of the officer first. The faith of the officer. The first thing you notice here is that this officer makes a request of Jesus. The Bible says he pleaded with him. You know, he was very intent with asking Jesus to do this certain thing. The verb there that is used in the Greek language means it was a desperate plea. It was a persistent plea. It wasn't just he going in there and kind of saying, well, if you have a little bit of time and your schedule's not too busy, could you do this? No, he was earnestly pleading with Jesus to do this certain thing. He was desperate. And he cried out to Jesus. And as I was thinking, I just want to pause there for just a second. I was thinking, you know, in our own lives, because we want to know how to apply this scripture to ourselves and apply this story to ourselves. How many times do we rely on ourselves rather than crying out to Jesus? I mean, if something goes wrong, and we've all had things go wrong, we panic in our minds. And then we kind of make this mental list, oh, I got to do this and this and this and this. I got to figure out this. Instead of just going to Jesus first and saying, Jesus, I need wisdom to know how to figure this thing out, you know? That's what I notice about this guy. He goes to Jesus. He cries out to Jesus. He was desperate. In his desperation, he went to Jesus. Now notice here Jesus' response. What does he say again there in verse 48? Jesus told them, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He didn't speak to the officer directly. He spoke to the crowd who was also gathered there. He essentially said, you people are only concerned about signs and wonders. They'd already seen some things. They'd already experienced that. They'd witnessed it. And so it's understandable why they would want to go out and see more, but Jesus is calling him out there. He's telling them that they're only concerned about signs and wonders. Maybe Jesus was drawing a contrast here between the Samaritans who he had just encountered in Sychar, who believed because of his message, and the Jews in Cana who were only interested in physical miracles. We don't know exactly why Jesus said that, but there was a reason. But then Jesus spoke to the officer. He told the royal officer to go because his son was going to live. Now take in mind, and sometimes we don't understand the distance that this guy had already traveled to go where Jesus was. He had traveled some 25 miles already, hoping that Jesus would come heal his son. Now, for us to get in a car and drive that's nothing. But obviously, they didn't have cars back then. So he walked 25 miles to go where Jesus was. That would have taken him some time, obviously. I don't know how long it would take to walk 25 miles, but it's going to take some time. And so there was a lot of effort put into already going there. He'd already traveled some 25 miles, hoping that Jesus would come heal his son. And instead, Jesus tells him to go back home because he's going to live, because his son would live. And the Bible says, did the Bible say the man argued with Jesus? Don't you know I've already traveled 25 miles and you're telling me to go home? No. He just started back for home. He went back home. The man believed Jesus and he went on his way. He didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't try to reason with Jesus. He didn't say, listen, Jesus, this doesn't make any sense. He just believed and he went on his way back home. And I thought sometimes in my life, and I'm sure you think about in your own life, how many times it is that we doubt Jesus, right? We doubt his word. We doubt what he says to us. We doubt the Holy Spirit's prompting in our lives. How many times do we try to reason, or how many times do we try to add to what he says? And the bottom line is, we just need to do exactly what Jesus says to do. There should be no argument. There should be no discussion. There should be no trying to, you know, add to it or take away or try to bargain doing things or not. We should just take Jesus at his word. We shouldn't pick and choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do, because we have one answer, and the answer is yes, Lord, yes. And it should always be yes, even when yes doesn't make a bit of sense to us mentally. It should be yes. You know, most people in our society, and for good reason, don't take things at face value. You know, we see a commercial that promotes a product. We want to know for sure that that product is going to come through, okay? And so we don't take things at face value. We want to see proof that something works or that the claims about the product are true. And when it passes the test, we can identify it as being real, okay? But these same principles that we apply to things of the world can't always be applied when it comes to spiritual matters. Because the kingdom of God is different than this kingdom in the world, okay? We can't be applied when it comes to spiritual matters or what Jesus asks of us. Jesus expected the royal officer's faith to be strong enough and to be desperate enough to trust his word without any proof at all. And he expects the same faith from me and you as well. And in thinking about this story, one more thing that I want to add there. What do you think it was that drove this man to literally walk 25 miles to seek out help from Jesus? What drove this man to seek out Jesus? You know, I believe, and this is speculation, but it's speculation based on the fact of Scripture, okay? I believe it was because Jesus was always full of good news for people. Amen? He was always full of good news for people who were hurting and broken. Remember the whole, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd? You know, that's who Jesus was. When he saw people, his heart broke over their spiritual condition. Jesus was full of good news for people who were hurting and broken. In other words, this man found hope in Jesus. As I was thinking about my own life, you know, sometimes we need to internalize the scripture and look at our own lives and have an inward focus. And, you know, in our lives, do people like to be around us because they see and hear good news from us? Are we full of hope and compassion for people? Or do we drive them away because we're really crabby and unapproachable? Sometimes we can be that crabby and unapproachable. I know I can at times. Listen, I don't have my act together all the time. I get tired. I get worn out. I get weary. I get tired of stuff. But people need to know that we're going to be full of good news and point them to Scripture. It's just a thought there. And I think that's why why this man went to Jesus. The second thing I want to point out from Scripture this morning is the results of the officer's faith. What was the result of his faith? Well, we know from the Scripture that the royal officer obeyed. And because he obeyed, because he took Jesus at his word, he received the promise of a miracle. He took Jesus at his word. He took his word at face value. And so as the royal officer was heading home, the Bible says that his servants met him before he even made it home and told him the good news that his child had been healed. The father even asked about the timing of the child's recovery, and his faith was confirmed. At the very same time that Jesus told him to go, that's when the child was healed. The royal officer's faith and obedience was rewarded. Imagine that. And not only that, this dramatic confirmation of faith resulted in wholehearted reception of Christ by both the officer and his entire household. So again, we see an instance where one person's faith, one person's heart change, one person's encounter with Jesus carried over into the household that he was in. And that's what happened here. The whole household believed on the name of Jesus. The officer had faith in what Jesus said, and his faith was rewarded. But you know, in our lives, things don't always work out that way, do they? What about when faith seems to not be rewarded? What about those times? Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like you were praying earnestly, that you were studying Scripture, that your heart was in the right place? There's been a time in your life when you felt God did not intervene in an important matter. Maybe you felt like you had the same amount of faith as this official. You had all your stuff together, but God didn't send the healing that you asked for. He didn't provide what you felt like you needed in a difficult time. We've probably all had encounters like that. We've all had situations like that. And it causes us to ask some pretty tough questions. And listen, Jesus can answer our tough questions. And we don't need to act like we don't have them, because he already knows our heart anyway, right? We're not going to hide anything from him. We're going to talk about that as we get into Jonah. I mean, he knows our heart. He knows our intentions. So we might as well just be honest and ask the tough questions. And so we might ask a question like, why don't you care, Lord? Why are you ignoring me? Why are you letting me go through this? I mean, does that mean that we really don't have enough faith? Listen, the Bible, if you read the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, the Bible is full of testimonies of people who called out to God in a time of need, at least for a little while, were met with silence. The Bible is chock full of instances like that. Probably Job is the most obvious example. In his greatest time of need, when he literally had lost everything, he felt as if God were nowhere to be found. He said in Job 23, 8 and 9, if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. He's talking about God. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. Job's just being honest. He's just being honest. And so Job felt that way. What about David? When David was on the run from his life from Saul, when he was fearful for his life, Saul was going to hunt him down and kill him. David wrote in Psalm 13:1, how long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever, he said. How long will you hide your face from me? I mean, that is a desperate cry from a desperate man. Lord, how long will you ignore me? Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed that the possibility that God would let the cup of suffering be taken away from him. But if the suffering was part of God's will, then he was willing to accept it. And we have to remember, guys, when we cry out to God, here's the first promise. He always hears us. There's no doubt about that. He always hears us. And he always responds. But you know what? His response is not always what we desire. His response is not always what we want. And understandably, when we're going through great pain and when we're going through great suffering and we're going through great grief, it's very hard to see how God's plan is at work, especially when his answer is no or wait. But we can always trust in God's answer, because you know what? God is just a little bit smarter than we are. I know that's hard to grasp sometimes because we think we got a handle on life, but he's just a little bit smarter than we are. You see, God is omniscient. What does that mean? It means he literally knows everything. There's not one thing that God does not know. He's not only omniscient, he's everywhere at the same time, and he's all-powerful. You know, the three O's. But he's omniscient. He literally knows everything. He knows details of stuff that we can't even begin to possibly imagine. He is perfect in love, so that we know ultimately he loves us. We know that he has ultimate authority, and he is perfectly trustworthy, so that we can trust him even when he's doing something that literally makes no sense at all. And since God is perfect, and since he ultimately knows what is best for our lives, he won't say yes to a prayer that goes against what is best for us. And we have to trust in that. He won't say yes to a prayer that goes against what is best for us. And listen, we may not understand and we may not agree with his response, but we can trust that God always has our best interest at heart. Amen? And as we go through painful times in life, guess what happens? We learn to be more like Christ. We learn to put the spotlight on God. That means giving him the glory with our words and actions, even in the midst of suffering. Remember what Job said when he lost everything? The Bible says he literally fell to the ground and he worshiped the Lord. Didn't know what else to do. I'm just going to worship you, Lord. God does respond when we cry out to him. But whether or not the answer matches up with what we think, that's up to him. I was having a discussion with my wife one time. We were talking about why doesn't God do this or why doesn't God do that? Or why did he do this in the Bible, which it didn't make any sense. And she said, because he's God and we're not. And it's so true, and it's such a simple answer, but it's just the way things are. Whether the answer matches up with what we think is up to him, we have to trust in him, not our own feelings. Feelings are temporary, right? But God is eternal, and God is perfect. And so we have to put our faith and trust in him. Sometimes he does come through, like he did with the royal officer. But sometimes he doesn't, but he still answers, and he still loves, and it's still the answer that we need. And so we have to trust in him. I like what Oswald Chambers said as I wrap things up. He once said these words. He said, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God." Let me read that again. "Faith in my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." That's true. They're so true. Earlier I mentioned what David wrote in Psalm 13:1 when he felt God had abandoned him. But when you read down further, you see that David ultimately chose to live by faith. Remember he said, "How long will you ignore me forever? You know, how long are you going to hide your face from me?" He wrote later on in verse, and if you read down further in Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6, he said, "But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing for the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." He went from, "How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long are you going to depart from me? How are you going to? Am I ever going to be able to find you? But you know what? Nevertheless, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. If I can't find you, if I can't see you, if you're nowhere to be found, or it seems like in my life, I'm going to trust in your unfailing love. I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. I'm going to sing your praise because you have been good to me. As I think about those words, I think about this all-important question. Will we declare those words in the midst of pain and doubt? Can we declare those same words? As we think about this scripture, this Galilean welcome, Jesus back to Cana, what is God leading you to do this morning? Is he asking you to trust in him in the midst of uncertainty? Is he asking you to trust in him even though what he's asking doesn't make any sense? Is he asking you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today? That's perhaps the greatest question that we need to answer this morning. Is God leading you to do that? To put your faith in Jesus, as we've been talking about every week, here's what you need to do. Admit to God you're a sinner, right? Just simply agreeing with God that you've blown it. He already knows anyway. Okay? It's like not this big revelation to him. Oh, you know, Kobe's a sinner? Wow, it was news to me. No, he already knows that. Admission is for us. We need to admit that we're a sinner. And then ask forgiveness and turn away from our sin. That means we go the opposite direction. And then believe that Christ died for us. He was buried and he rose again. We have to believe that those things actually happen. And then commit your life to Jesus. That means making him your Lord. Making him your boss. Sometimes we just focus on the Savior part, and that's great. And we ought to focus Jesus as our Savior, but he also needs to be our Lord. That means we commit our life to him. And so maybe you need to do that today. Whatever he's asking you, are you willing to make that commitment this morning? Beyond that, maybe it's to become a member of this church. Maybe it's to follow up in baptism after a decision for Christ. Maybe it's to surrender to ministry or missions. We want to know what the Lord is leading you to do today. We want to know what he's on your heart to do. And we need to follow what Scripture says and make those commitments to him. And so if you want to fill out that connect card that's in front of you, fill that out. Let us know what your desire is. And we want to be able to get you to the next point in your life spiritually. So please let us know. If you're watching online, you can go to our website, click the connect card. And it's the same thing. You can fill out the information. The information goes right to me. If you fill the card out today, drop it in the offering box on your way out. The people that collect the money will give that to me, and it will be for my eyes only. So let us know. Let us know what you need, because we want to help you get to that next point in your life spiritually. Let's pray, and then Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. Father, we thank you today for the message that you've given us. We thank you for this story. We thank you for the faith of the officer. Father, we can learn so much from that we just need to take what you say and do it without argument. I pray that we would respond to you in faith in that way this morning, in what you're calling us to do right now. But Lord, beyond that, if when you answer us and your answer doesn't seem to go with what we think, Lord, we know that we still need to trust in you. When the answer is no, when the answer is wait, we still need to trust in you. Because we know that you are perfect and your decisions are perfect. And we don't see the big picture like you. And you know everything and we don't. And so we're willing to trust in the one who is all perfect and all powerful and all knowing. We trust in you today. Because we know that you love us perfectly and you always have our best interest at heart. Father, we ask you to have your way in us now. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.